Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and boy, am I grateful to be with you. I really am. We came so close to not making it, and I am just so humbly grateful to be here with you and to be able to share these radio programs with you. And today we're going to do a Dilly Whopper to celebrate. We're going to look into the ego. Boy, what a trip that little puppy is. I want to remind you that these radio programs, as you know, are supported solely and entirely upon your tax-deductible gift. And we're still looking for people to help us so we never get into the situation we were in late last year. A lot of it had to do with the fires and all the things that are going on, and people were helping other causes with that, and I understand that completely. But we still need your support. Time marches on, as you know, and people, what can I say? It just is what it is. Radio stations, internet, everything needs to be paid, and that's just part of the issue. So if you are feeling like this radio program has helped you in any way, shape, or form, I'm hoping that you will become a sponsor and help us sustain it so we never have to go through what we went through in November, December, and early part of January here. Please understand, this radio program, while you enjoy it and send me emails and everything, does cost money, and we need your support. Okay, that's all I can say. Go to the website at aspire.org, and there you will see how to support Aspire. And there's a little page there that tells you all about where your money goes and what it's all about. So I hope that you will avail yourself of that. Ego. Let's get a definition here. When you look up the word ego, it is defined as a person's sense of self-esteem or self-importance. Really? Well, there's a major issue. In the psychoanalysis of it, the ego is the part of the mind that mediates between the conscious and the unconscious and is responsible for reality testing and a sense of personal identity. Ouch. Ouch, ouch, ouch. And there is no end to the evil this little puppy can render. I mean, no end whatsoever. So I am going to kind of alter that. And here's my curiosity. The part of the mind that mediates between the conscious and the unconscious. What part is that? It is the genetic part. The ego is there as a part of our genetic heritage. And if it is the self-esteem and the self-importance of people, then it is also at the same time derived from our ancestors who also had egos and also were mediating between the conscious and the unconscious. And I'm going to say this to you. I think it's all in the unconscious mind, not any mediation. I don't see it as that at all. I see that the ego is a product of not only my genetics, but my DNA, my sense of survival. So I'm not looking at my ego as some kind of negotiation between the conscious and the unconscious. I don't see that at all. I think it's all unconscious. And I think it is derived out of the whole idea of what my ancestor was and what my ancestry was and what that's all about. I'm a pen, and this is what pens do. And there is no doubt about it. This is what they do. You know what I mean? So it's looking for, in my unconscious mind, anything it can find to identify itself and survive. And the other part, it's responsible for reality and a sense of personal identity. That's true. He wants to think it knows what reality is. And that just isn't going to happen. So now we get into our questions for today. So the first one comes from Sam. And I don't know where Sam lives. North Carolina. Forgive me, Sam. North Carolina. I've got an ego. You do too. I can hear it on the radio. How do you live with your ego, Sam? This is so true. Such an excellent question. You must be a very bright person. I'm very, very impressed. Everybody has an ego. I have one. Jesus had one. Buddha had one. Lhasa had one. Everyone has one. It is something that comes with your physical body. If you have a physical body, a genetic platform, a genetic pattern, you're going to have also an ego. And this ego is going to shape and mold your persona, your personality. And if we are not careful, it will also derive what we call reality, what we think of as what is real and what is not real. Now, that is the key to it all. If I am fooled by my ego and I succumb to it constantly, living the hubris of it, then I am going to misunderstand many aspects of my life, and I will not have the psychology to be able to maintain a balance between my body and the reality that lives beyond my body. It is a very big mistake that we make when we live in the mania of the ego. This mania that we have, this condition, this very sick borderline personality stuff that we all have, is interesting because it distributes ideas and ideals that make us egocentric, where we are only thinking about our ego and what it can produce and what it tells us is true and what it tells us is false. So, Sam, you're right. I've got an ego. You do too. How do you live with it? You have to understand it is emotional. The ego is all about emotion and the rationalization of my emotions to pertain to not only reality, but to save face. The ego is a very big thing about saving face. It is about being concerned what other people think of me. So when you're in this modality, and I'm in it, of ego, we lose our balance. Now, here is the real nitty-gritty to answer your question. We have to learn how to live in these bodies without becoming these bodies. That is the huge effort, to live in the world but not let the world live in us. Now, if you can learn how to, and I'm going to give you the essence of it all here, let go, then you will go beyond the ego. You will not allow the ego to be the psychotic part of us, the psychology part of us. You will start to understand what the ego is all about, especially when it comes to survival, because it is strictly a survival mechanism. That's all it is. It is there to give you ideals, ideas, to turn them into obsession and mania so you can survive. Survive what? Well, at first it looks like to survive the world or those around you. But then it gets really ill and it is only used to survive itself. And if you can understand that, that the ego is based in the survival of itself in its last stages of human development, it is then that you understand why you are the way you are and why there is pain and sorrow in your life. It is strictly because the ego is trying to survive itself. First, it's trying to survive your parents, our parents. Then it tries to survive people around us as we're growing up, our schoolmates and friends. And then it goes on to try to survive the worldly aspect, you know, the competition, all of that stuff. Then it tries to survive the idea of attaining a mate. That's a very big deal to the ego. Then after it gets the mate, the career, it conquers, let's say, friends, and you and I have maybe fooled them into thinking that we're this, that, and the other, whatever it is we need to fool them in. We find our place in society, which is ego. All society is based in ego. We have no culture. So we get involved in that. And then the last stage is that the ego must survive itself. And that is the pipper. And that means that we've set into motion through egotistical ideals and beliefs and eccentricities and all of that, a mania. This egomania is an obsessiveness of being self-centered. Only everything is about me, me, me. And once you get into that aspect, most people die in that. They never recover. They never see what they need to do. They don't care to see what they do. They've lost all ability to go into third person, to meditate, and to have any perspective other than whatever it is their ego demands. That's it. Life is over. These people may look highly successful, or they may look like low life to you. Sam, it doesn't matter. That is the stages that people go through. And it is all due to living unconsciously. I can't get that any deeper for you. This is why meditation is so important. If you meditate, if you can meditate, you will find that you begin a journey beyond the idea of ego, and you accentuate the heart and love. The ego does not like love. It does not like the heart. It likes none of that. It thinks of it as weakness. So we do everything to boost our ego because we're afraid of what will happen if we don't. And that's just the end of the statement there. So, dear Sam from North Carolina, that's my answer. I hope it helps you. I really do. Please forgive me. Namaste. The next one, a really interesting question from Jessica. She does not tell me where she lives. But Jessica, I want to thank you for your kind words about the radio program and your donation. Can we live, she asks, without an ego? Well, no, not in this world. You have to have one. It is the degree to which you and I live in it and how willing we are to walk that very fine line of living with it but not from it. That is the key. If you can live with it but not from it, you set into motion a consciousness. You have to know what belongs to the body and your genetics, your persona, your personality. Everybody has one. And then what is the source and the meaning of your life? What is it you actually live from? And can you express that which you live from into your life experience? Like, let me give you an example. Your ego, you're at odds with someone, and your ego gives you all sorts of stories about what a terrible person they are, and all about their malarkey, their unkindness to you. And you look at that and you think to yourself, well, I have every right to be mean to that person, because now in being mean to them, I get even with them and I'll show them who's more powerful. Instead of living in that persona, you accentuate, not through your ego, but through your heart, loving kindness towards them. This loving kindness you have to such a degree with them that it troubles your ego. It humbles you, makes you feel less than. You think to yourself, well, if I do that, they'll think I'm this or they'll think I'm that, and I'm not. They'll do it again and again and again. I had a student who I dearly love recently say to me something that I thought was very interesting. We were in session together, and he's from New York, and I dearly love him. And he said, you know, in New York, if they heard the Beatitudes, they not only wouldn't understand it, they would think that person is weak. And that is true. I don't think just of New York. I think most everywhere. I mean, imagine Trump understanding the Beatitudes. I don't think that's going to happen. But less than none and nonetheless, this sense of weakness to live in the kindness of the heart is not an egotistical trip. And it goes against the ideals, ideas, and centricity of the ego. And if you can withstand that humility and project from your heart forgiveness, compassion, kindness, you will have set into motion something far more powerful than just the beliefs and ideals that you have about your ego, your persona, your fears, whatever they may be. And you will find in your life that you have hurt yourself very deeply because you won't be able to hear what we call that still small voice within you. It is only when you pause and you really listen to that beyond the egocentricity of our psychology, our obsessiveness, our self-centeredness, that we find how to live with the ego. The ego will help you sit up, you know, walk across the room, all of that. And for a lot of people, that's very important. The ego eventually has to take a low, low seat within us, and the heart must take the upper seat. And if a person is unwilling to allow this to happen, this process of the lower seat to the ego, the higher seat to the heart, then they will miss their entire life. They will miss the beauty, the creativity, the love that exists in this lifetime for the sake of this lifetime. Now, there is nothing I can do to make that go away. my teachings are about not ego, but about living in the heart, you would be surprised at the amount of resistance and rejection I get for all of that, which is why the world is the way the world is. So there you are. Our egomania, how do you live with it? You live with it, not from it. You don't take your cues from it. You don't live from impulse, which is the major thrust of the ego. Never live from impulse. Live from direct experience with the heart. Compassion, forgiveness, release, let go. These are a practice. That's why we call this a practice. And if you can live in that, which you can, if you're not afraid to let people have the opinions they have, you can set into motion something gigantic. Jessica, I wish you well. And if I can help you further, let me know. Please forgive me. Namaste. The last question. This is from Linda in Los Angeles. She listens to us always and is a sponsor, by the way. How do I overcome my ego? It's huge, Linda. Being passive. You don't overcome it. If you pit your ego against yourself, you will lose. The ego lives off of a certain amount of confrontation. And if you want confrontation, you bring in the ego. If you don't want confrontation, you will have to let things be as they are and not try to make them any different than the way they are. Now, if you can understand that, if you can let things be as they are and not want more than what is and sit quietly to find out what is that might be beyond the conception and perception and ideals of your human mind, you're in a very valuable place. Just go through the day. And Linda, think of it this way. Nothing is the way I am envisioning it here. Nothing is the way I think it is. Nothing. Nothing is happening the way I think it's happening. Nothing. Now, if you can understand that, and you can do that, which you can, you will set into motion something authentic and real that is beyond the speculation of the ego. You will let love live you. I say that all the time. Let love live you. And if you do this, if you allow for this, something beautiful will happen. A new life will enter into you. A new sense of kindness will enter into you. Every breath will be precious. The ego will keep your body going. It will do all the things it's supposed to do to sustain its place in your body. But it will not have the influence over you that it used to have. And that is the key. It won't have the influence. Your genetics will no longer be activated. It'll all be about love. Thank you, Linda, for your kind question. I appreciate it. I'm out of here. Well, if you have comments or questions, you know how to get to me. Come to the website at aspire.org. You can email me from there. or just, here we go again, or just email me at greg@aspire.org. I'm out of here. Have a beautiful day, and please forgive me, eh? Namaste.